Thank you, Emma, and welcome to everybody. Hope you're all well, and you have been well over the last couple of months in times in which lockdowns are still presented to us as the new normal and the pandemic seems to be at the peak. UVM has certainly done better than expected over the last few months, and this is particularly true for the fourth quarter. This is also why the boards of UVM are suggesting to the AGM a dividend of €2.20 per share, no change to the record year 2019, and definitely one of the highlights I'm delighted to present to you together with Patrick. He has navigated the financials of UVM successfully through the pandemic and will present you with the strongest balance sheet ever. I shall then report on the foundation we have laid and the progress we have made in connection with our new strategy, Green, Smart, and More. But we have not only made progress in this respect, we also had our company ESG rated, and the result puts us into the top 15% of our industry in Germany and Austria. Strategy focused, core assets classified, defined, and in the pipeline, and successful transformation over the last 12 months, together with a rather upbeat outlook. These are the highlights of this conference call. Please turn to slide number 4. Not without a certain self-confidence, I may announce that we are going to deliver a dividend of €2.20 in June and, compared with the actual consensus, above the expectations of most of you. Continuity, reliability, and earnings expectations count. They count to us a lot. It is no coincidence that we can be found regularly among the top yielders of the Vienna Stock Exchange. Over the last 5 years, we have delivered more than €75 million of dividends, 76.2 million to be precise, and if the AGM, of course, agrees to our suggestion. Quite a few of you have been concerned that a project business like ours cannot possibly provide the continuous earnings profile equity markets like. We have insisted that you can adapt our business model in such a way that it meets the capital markets requirements. Patrick is now going to present you with the latest numbers proving this. Patrick, please.
Thank you, Thomas, and a warm welcome also from my side in these still challenging times. Last year in April, we were talking about the unpredictable, foggy future and how we were confident in coping with the challenges ahead. 12 months later, UBM is in a very healthy state, if not the healthiest in the company's long history. UBM has certainly done better than expected in the financial year 2020. Let's jump into slide number 5. At the end of 2020, our equity ratio stands at 35% and remains unchanged compared to the same period of the previous year, and therefore still at the upper end of our target range. Equity reaches a level of more than 480 million, in other words, almost €500 million. Our loan-to-value ratio currently stands at 35%, still under-leveraged in the light of our business model. Net debt is still moderate and, more important, under control, well below the historic levels of a much more leveraged UBM. Our financial strategy, focused on stability and risk adversity, has proven to be right in the most challenging economic environment in decades. Below the surface, we have also done our homework in 2020 and still are able to present a very solid balance sheet to you. In the light of refocusing ourselves by adjusting and reinventing our strategy, we took a sober and conservative view on our hotel business, be it development, standings, or hotel operations. At the end of 2020, we adjusted every euro in our balance sheet when it comes to hotel operations, be it intercompany loans or the investment book value, overall a financial hit of 21.3 million. When it comes to our minority stakes in standing hotels, Palais Hansen and Jochberg, we adjusted the value by another 5.6 million. In the hotel development arena, we neither started nor acquired any new project. The projects already being under construction at the beginning of the corona crisis have been continued, all valued at manufacturing costs. Hotel projects under development and not forward sold are accounting for approximately 96 million by end of 2020 in our balance sheet. To a lesser extent, UBM's business model also includes the operation and rental of standing assets. The share of standing assets has been substantially reduced in recent years. The pandemic has led to isolated rental default incidents or necessary deferrals, but the occupancy rates in the properties remain sound. Overall, we have digested approximately €500,000 of bad debt. Having a solid balance sheet with good ratios is one thing. When it comes to a crisis, cash and cash control is even more important. Please turn to slide number 6 now. On this chart, you can see the result of our ability to preserve cash, ending up with the highest cash level in UBM's history, almost reaching 250 million by end of 2020. How did we do that? We stopped our acquisitions in a very early stage at the crisis and made cash steering the anchor point of daily business. We screened the spending and implemented a series of measures, for example, the use of instruments like short-term work in Austria and Germany. Fortunately, our employees only had to go on short-term work for 3 months of uncertainty. Besides having a better sleep at night, what are the advantages of having the cash cushion, and is it worth the cost? Let me outline some of the advantages we see in the current environment. Cash at hand turned out to be an even sharper tool when it comes to opportunity hunting than before the crisis. Having a cushion means being able to guarantee transaction security without dependency on a bank refinancing, bank guarantees, bank processes for the acquisition, and alike. An example for this is the Bogner property with excellent development potential in Munich being acquired during the first quarter of 2021. The acquisitions made in 2021 will, however, only have a positive influence on UBM's earning development from 2022 onwards. Another advantage of the cash position is being more independent from market windows, timing when it comes to refinancing. This brings us into a better position in negotiating interest rates and gives us the flexibility to wait for the right moment in time. And the last point I want to stress for today in this respect is the security it shows to our employees. Security of a working place, an employer, is valued much higher than before the crisis. Summing up, our liquidity position is a very good one. This is true for end of last year and also for today. Please follow me to slide number 7 now. We are proud to deliver better numbers than the market expected while looking back on one of the most challenging years in UBM's history at the same time. As you can see on the chart, our earnings before tax are down less than 12% to 62.3 million compared to our record year in 2019. Net profit stands at 40.8 million and is also above analyst expectations of the capital market by a double-digit percentage. Looking back on a year being dominated by COVID-19, with a strategic change and new direction for the company, and in the light of having digested approximately 27 million of adjustments in the hotel business alone, we are proud to be able to present the second best year in the company's history. 2020 numbers are also including negative currency effects from the Polish zloty and the Czech krona versus the euro, which amounted to roughly 12.9 million of negative effect 2020. They are reflected in our P&L in the other operating expenses as well as in the at equity result. From 2016 to 2020, our EBT rose by 11.6%. compound annual growth rate. We have generated 280 million earnings before tax and 200 million net profit in the last 5 years. This proves that UBM delivers a solid profitability throughout all economic cycles. A quick glimpse into the future. The development of earnings in 2021 will be positively influenced by the unbroken interest of private and institutional investors in the residential sector, but demand is also strong for UBM's office projects. It is expected that we will suffer at least a bit from the limited project acquisition activity in 2020 and the resulting corona dent. Earnings in 2021 are, from the current point of view, expected to be lower than the previous year. We are, however, optimistic concerning a successful return to the pre-corona development path beginning in 2022. It may well be that the overall risk appetite of investors, banks, and tenants is declining, but the ongoing low interest rate environment and the continuing flight towards real asset values should further intensify the lack of investment alternatives. This is even more true when you add the need for sustainable investment opportunities to the equation. Now back to Thomas. He will tell you about our new strategy and our successful pipeline transformation.
Thank you, Patrick. In February 2020, I've been interviewed by Austria's Trend magazine, and UBM's share price was clearly on its way to sustainably surpass the 50 euro mark. The real estate boom seems to know no limits. I'm on record insisting that one cannot predict a black swan, quote unquote, but always has to manage such a risk as if this rare bird were around the corner. At this time, of course, I didn't know how close the black swan was to this corner. To a certain extent, we were forced to reinvent ourselves. Or I should better say, we were forcing ourselves to reimagine UBM under the new circumstances. By the way, it has not been the first time in our almost 150-year-long history that Union Baumaterialien, which is actually the abbreviation standing for, found itself in this place. Our name dates back to the K&K monarchy, when we were the second largest brick producer after Wienerberger. After the world economic crisis, UBM, or rather what was left of it, was changed into a property developer. In the 90s, we were among the first to expand into Eastern Europe, a true Ostpionier, and then we became Europe's leading hotel developer pre-corona. Today, our claim clearly is to become the leading timber construction developer in Europe. For us, the question to develop a project or even an entire quarter in timber construction is not a choice, it has become an imperative. Projects like the Timber Pioneer, next to the FAZ Tower in Frankfurt, show the way. However, our future projects are not only sustainable, but also smart. It means that they will contain a standardized set of technical features like sensors measuring air volume exchange, temperature, lightning, or occupancy. All of this with the aim to bring down operating costs of the building and thereby reduce the carbon footprint over its entire life. Sustainability is the driver. Technology is the enabler. Still not enough. While we expect demand for office space to go down by something like 20%, the post-COVID era will fire up the demand for post-COVID office space, or, more generally speaking, for distinctive projects which are different from what we know from pre-corona times. This is why we are delivering a story and not only a building, like we have done in the past with our hotels. With a Timber Pioneer, the story is obvious, for example. It is wood. This means you are welcomed by the scent of forest floor as you enter the building, and you hear the sound of a woodpecker in the distance as you go up with the elevator. Please, don't smile. Remember the experience of changing terminals in Zürich Kloten and I hope you can still remember this, and then ask yourself if you can tell the difference of changing terminals in Munich or Frankfurt. Let's go to slide number 9. The future is bright. The future is green, and in our eyes, it is UBM green. As mentioned in my introductory statement, UBM has recently been rated by ISS. Together with Vonovia and Deutsche Wohnen, we find ourselves pretty much at the top of our peer group, which is real estate and construction in Germany and Austria. There are no peers rated A or B. In February, our supervisory board established an ESG committee. We were one of the first, if not the first, stock-listed company in Vienna to do so on a supervisory board, right? Let's not mix that up with a sustainability advisory board or something else. Today, we have also published our first ESG report, which is on top following the Global Reporting Initiative standards, the GRI standards. This makes us part of a global movement. The environment, social, and governance issues form an integral part of our Green, Smart, and More strategy and make it easier to invest in us under sustainability aspects, of course. Looking at slide 10, it is fair to assess that our transformation has not only been fast, but also successful. We are back at a record pipeline of 2.3 billion euro. And remember, our pipeline is made up by the next 4 years and only according to the percentage of our participation. More than half of it, or 1.25 billion euros, are made up by Resi. We have doubled the percentage of our office pipeline from 16 to 32%, and you can see the pre-corona percentage figures in gray in the inner circle. This represents 750 million euros in new type office projects. From pre-COVID, 43% only 14% are left in the hotel development. This is due to our decision in early April of last year to pull out of our hotel project developments, which were not under construction yet. It puts us in a position to sell the FAZ Tower as early as Q4 of last year to Hanse Merkur Insurance Company at 32.5 times annual rent. As can be seen on slide 11, we have also very successfully sold more than 1,000 residential units in 2020 and have 1,100 units under development in each market in Germany and in Austria, so 1,100 each, with approximately an additional 600 units in Prague. In line with the market research, we have seen prices increase over the last couple of months in all of our resi markets. CBRE investigated investor sentiment with offices, as you see on the right-hand bottom of slide 12. Not surprisingly, investors want to manage the risk and preferably invest in core offices in Germany with a clear ESG capability and a high credit worthiness of tenants. What might be more of a surprise is that UBM's current projects do meet all of these criteria. This is not only true for the Timber Pioneer, but also for Nikko in Frankfurt, which is considerably lower in operating costs than other comparable office spaces. And it is because of our smart technology. It also features more than 100 loading stations in the underground parking for more e-mobility. Please visit the websites of these two projects to find out more amazing details and renderings. You find the addresses on the slide. In a nutshell, Green, Smart, and More fits like a glove regarding post-COVID office requirements for both tenants and investors. This brings me to the last slide of our formal presentation, slide 13, the outlook. And it is a bit of a repetition of what Patrick explained in more detail, but I think it's important enough to repeat it. I guess it is fair to say that 2020 was better than expected. Opportunity hunting only started this year, and we hope for more, quote, Willy Bogner opportunities, quote, in the future. The corona dent this year, of course, strongly depends on the progress which is made in vaccination, the majority of the population. Progress which we see in countries like Israel is definitely encouraging in this respect. We also expect good progress being made in ESG-linked financing and further sales, be it as trading opportunity or as a forward sale, which you know from us and where we don't change the strategy. From today's perspective, we believe in a full swing back to pre-corona levels as early as 2022, when further progress is being made in forward sales and our strategic partnership. Ultimately, we also believe that the worst is over in our hotel operations, and while it is still unclear if we see new golden 20s, it should be back to normal at some stage in 2022. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to open up the line for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Simon Stippig with Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me well?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Perfect. Fantastic. First of all, congratulations for the prolongation of contracts announced yesterday. I think that's a very confident sign to all stakeholders.
Thank you.
In regard to questions, first, my first question would be surrounding your guidance. And you just mentioned the corona dent in 4 year 21. I just wonder, is there a more precise, maybe number-based guidance possible for the year? And then secondly, around the trading portfolio, do you mean by that what you also just mentioned, but I just want to clarify, do you mean hotels potentially in Jochberg up for sale or your assets in Poland?
Okay. Any further questions, or shall I start with the ones?
I would ask them one by one, if I may.
Okay, fantastic. Look, on guidance, I don't want to give the cautionary statement regarding corona. We are reasonably optimistic that by summer, everybody who wants to be vaccinated is vaccinated, and that changes the game. But until we have more certainty, we are hesitant to give you number-based guidance. On the other hand, you know us, and if I say us, I also mean Chris Reiner, who's approachable at all times, and we feel comfortable with your current earnings consensus, which stands at 42.5 million euros EBT, and I could give you also the other numbers, but they are pretty close to the Bloomberg consensus numbers. So from that point of view, I think you can draw some confidence from what we've said, but we are not in a position to give you a number-based range. At the moment, we will do so the moment we have full clarity. Regarding the trading portfolio, it is of course the standing assets that we are constantly trying to reduce, but it is more the idea that the one or other project which you see in the pipeline, okay, is not going to be executed by us, but rather sold as we get, say, the necessary zoning permission or building permission, and we leave it to somebody else. Why are we doing this? Well, the reason lies in the continuity of our profits. We have, of course, an ambition that goes further than the 42.5 million, because we want to provide you with a continuous profitability stream, and that is also true for 2021, even though at the very early stage we said our corona year looks to be more 21 than 2020. Okay?
Okay, great. That's all clear. And the second question would be regarding your other operating expenses. You just mentioned, I think, slightly impact of 12.9 million. I saw in the notes even 14 million. So if I adjust your operating earnings, then there's a material cost reduction. I know there's partly coming from office operations, but could you just explain maybe if there is there anything of this cost reduction you would deem sustainable on a lower base going forward?
I'm happy to comment on this one, Simon. So the number I mentioned is together with the equity investments, and there you have a different view on the FX. But nevertheless, you pointed out to the other operating expenses. What you see here is predominantly what we try to do over the year is trying to avoid any cash out where we can. And we have also had an unusual year when it comes, for example, on consulting expenses, things like that, as we have done no bonds, for example, and we also postponed other things. So your question regarding is it a sustainable effect, I would say it's not. So most probably, sooner or later, when we jump back on the old performance, we also will see increasing costs in the other operating costs as well.
Okay, but because just for reference, if I look back until 2017 and I adjust for the Zloty, then you actually reduced cost every single year.
Yeah, that's true, but starting at 2017, you might remember that we have programs in place in order to get down with the cost. This time, that is an unusual year, the 2020 okay. year in the cost regards.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Maybe just one last one. In regard to acquisitions, similar maybe to the acquisition in Munich. So, are you in any talks? Do you have any prospect you're looking at? I mean, I'm sure you always look at something, and you get something on your table. I just wonder if it's more material, and are you optimistic to acquire a certain project this year?
Well, you know, Patrick wants a quarter of a billion cash all the time, and it's Friday afternoon. Of course, Simon, we are constantly looking at opportunities, but we are very disciplined. I think that is a very important message that I want to give you. We held back our firing power for quite a while. And I know that we've been kind of, you know, presenting you with this opportunity hunting possibility, and the chart you might remember with the hunter, where we were criticized for here and there at a very early stage. And then we couldn't report anything to you by year end. But I think you can draw some confidence from the Willy Bogner headquarters. They are dating back to the 50s, okay? It's not very densely built, the area, and it's amid a very upcoming area in Munich. And we believe that such possibilities are opening up also going forward. I mean, everything else would be a complete surprise.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Stefan Schaaf with SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Stefan here from SRC. Some questions. The first is, what are your expectations for the hotel operations in this year? Would you currently consider also acting on arising opportunities in the hotel segment? And do you already see some opportunities from distressed competitors on the market here?
Okay. Stefan, good to hear your voice. I only see posts otherwise from you on LinkedIn. What are our expectations for the hotel operations? Well, the first expectation is a very modest one. So far, all our business plans were deteriorating as time continued. And I believe we are now at a turning point. Okay. At the moment, only the hotels in Poland are open, because the situation there is slightly different. We might not be the first to reopen our hotels in Germany, but you can judge yourself best that the opportunity is there, particularly for a city like Berlin. When it comes to opportunity hunting on the hotel operation side, I think every one of you saw the ad hoc publication yesterday. We've hired Martina Malik-Gertner. We are very proud to get one of the most distinguished experts in this area. Of course, we've hired her also to take utmost care of our probably 15 hotel operating companies, which we will have by the end of the year. There are 13 at the moment. But we've also hired her because there clearly is an opportunity out there on the market, as a lot of the operating companies, the Pachtgesellschaften, okay, are in a very, very stressed position. And of course, as such opportunities open up to ourselves, we see this as an opportunity to earn back some of the money that Patrick has described. We unfortunately had to lose with this Black Swan event.
Okay. The development portfolio reached the target ratio of over 70%. Can we expect this ratio to develop going more up in the coming years? And what are your plans to reduce the standing portfolio? Have you some milestones in mind here?
Intuitively, I would say this number can only know one direction, because it can only rise from 70%. However, you must see that we have four hotels under construction, not really fully voluntarily, we will probably keep until, the bargain hunters are out of the market and we get the right price for it. Which might increase or even decrease the number for a quarter or two. In general, and as I said, tongue-in-cheek, we have a quarter of a billion cash to invest it, and we only invest it in development assets, of course.
Okay. Regarding your annual report, there's a great focus on the timber construction opportunities, and from some media releases I could see that there is a shortage in timber, and the timber price has been gone up rapidly in the last month. What is your opinion here, and what expectations do you have for the timber price, and which consequences might this have for your business?
Well, Stefan, which you might not be aware of, but you have two experts on the line for wood prices, because when Patrick and I worked for Lansing, okay, the wood price was the paramount issue. And so we are fully aware of this volatility. I must tell you, it's a bit like the steel price for concrete construction, yes. We know that the steel prices are also very volatile, but you have to look at the percentage numbers that go into it. If you're concerned about anything, it is the personal expenses that the construction companies run into. And I think with the overall labor market, the overall shape of the labor market, we are at the moment cautiously relaxed about this. What I would dare to say is that prices have stabilized at a fairly high level. With timber construction, of course, I can't give you a representative answer, as we have only, quote unquote, the timber pioneer currently tendered. But I expect these prices to, you know, go up and down, and not having any impact on our strategic clear direction that we want to become the number one timber construction developer in Europe. And we are dead serious about it, as serious as we are about becoming even better in the ESG arena.
Okay. So one follow-up, the Dutch hotel, the Voco Knotterdijk in Den Haag. Have you any timeline here for the second half of the year to open it, or does this depend too much on the corona situation?
No. As I know about the opening plans of the Crown Plaza in Amsterdam, okay, the Voco, I mean, we haven't kind of, you know, speeded up the completion of Voco, but the moment it's done, which will be by the end of the second quarter, we are also going to soft open Voco The Hague, because, and I strongly recommend to everyone who's then too bored to sit at home, it is close to the Emperor's Palace, and The Hague is a fantastic, okay, also touristic destination. It's at the sea, it's a beautiful city, and we expect with this very special product that ISG has created, it's a boutique type product, it's in a former bank building. You will have cheese tasting in the safe deposit room and everything. This is the destination number one for me if I were to live in Frankfurt.
Okay, I see. Now, you put some nice pictures in your annual report. I could see that. Really nice. So congrats for the results and congrats for the stable dividend. And I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you, Stefan. Means a lot from your mouth, because you're always a very critical mind.
The next question comes to the line of Andre Remke with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon together. Also from my side, congrats on the results for last year. Well, I have to screen the questions, because a lot of questions are already answered. Starting with a follow-up on the market opportunities you mentioned and discussed, could you probably describe how the market for such projects is developing? Are there, simply saying, are there opportunities? And if so, how is the competition for those opportunities? So I assume you saw more than you had executed with the Bognor deal.
A good question, Andre. Look, as I've mentioned before, we are extremely disciplined when it comes to investing, okay? We are not getting nervous if we don't acquire a project every 6 weeks, particularly as we focus more on larger scale projects, as we found out that they get more management attention and often develop better than, you know, the small businesses or the small projects all over the place. Of course, competition is very strong, and I don't want to kind of, you know, give you some thoughts or some food for thought what will happen with all the empty office space, okay, that you will see, which you won't be able to relet, and what happens there. But I think that in the future, there's a lot of project flow coming from refurbishment, quote unquote, reclassification of certain space that will get empty. And of course, okay, the competition is tough, but don't forget our competitive advantage, that if somebody approaches us with 55 million price ticket, we are the ones who can say, look, If we like the project and if the technical due diligence is fine, we don't need to ask anybody but our supervisory board, and that takes 5 days. So we are fast. In other words, if you want, we offer the opportunity of being fast and offering transaction security, if you want. That is the biggest currency at the moment. You know that in Germany you can stand up at the public notary when the contract is read out to you and you don't have to pay for damages if you say, oh, I've misunderstood this clause, I walk away. And this is something you don't want to see if you have a strategic reason to sell your assets.
And in let's rephrase this question again. What is your opinion in contrast to last year's expectations? Are there a lot of opportunities? And it often is a question of pricing and competition, or are you feeling that it's not, the time is not ripe for more opportunities?
Look, a year ago there were no opportunities, but we were also not looking at opportunities. We were looking, okay, to save, to save fuel. Then later over the year, we were kind of, you know, scratching our head, what's wrong in our strategic consideration that these opportunities didn't turn up immediately, you know, as the fog was getting cleared up a bit. Now, as time progresses, and I don't know if you've heard the announcement that by mid-year latest, the insolvency applications are open again, we will see a lot of companies reconsidering if they need everything and all the assets that they have on their balance sheet for their operation. And this is really opening the opportunity for a solid partner like us, okay, who is not trying to bargain hunt, but is trying to make a good living for ourselves and our shareholders as we acquire further projects. But you will see announcement of further projects as the year progresses for these reasons.
Okay, excellent. Then the second question is on your partnership or joint ventures, especially those one forming 1 year ago with ARE. Are there any further progress apart from the first project in Munich? Are there further, let's say, immediate plans? And could also, for example, the newly acquired project in Munich, the Bruckner Real, become a project for this partnership? And probably lastly, you mentioned on slide 13, more new partnerships. Does this mean the ARE framework or also other partnerships?
Yeah. To answer your question first, we are making good progress with ARE also on Village im Dritten. Okay? You must not forget that it's not only the Bauberger Straße, which of course is in your focus, it's also the Village im Dritten, which is a big resi or mixed development, I should say, but with a strong focus on resi. ARE and us have found out that we are a really good match, I think, in both projects, and therefore I believe that it's both parties' intention to intensify this. Of course, it always depends on the right project and this project fitting into the strategy. When it comes to more strategic partnerships, you are right. It's a mix of my hope number one is that Hans-Peter Weiss and I find another opportunity in the near future where we could cooperate for the reasons given. but I would also not outrule that we form a strategic partnership with somebody else, because we stand for continuity and reliability, and we must kind of leverage this also going forward. So we like to do business with the same partners all the time, and this is the hope which is expressed in the 2022 outlook.
Yeah, but with the second part of your answer, it's nothing around the corner.
Well, you never know.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you. Then the last question refers to your timber construction. You stated in the past that the construction costs are very similar to conventional construction costs. Do you believe that the value or the selling prices, the potential selling prices, are more attractive? I.e., do you see, at least for you as a first mover, higher developer margins in general?
Well, look, Andre, to your first part of the question, you can almost answer it yourself. I don't know if you have the same impression as we got from investors who thanked you. I mean, when is it that an investor thanks you for a rating that we've received by ISS because we add value to their ESG percentage, okay? And I believe since April 1st, okay, the first question you are asked from any gremia, by any gremia, that you approach, that you want to buy something is it ESG capable? Now, with timber construction, this is a no-brainer question to answer. The answer is yes, because a timber construction or even a hybrid timber construction project is almost carbon neutral. Not quite, and to get the precise figures, visit our Timber Pioneer website. So I think we are in the bull's eye of what the market requires. And as I said, I said it in the press conference this morning, is Europe ultimately going to become green? And my answer is clearly yes. Okay, the answer is clearly now they found the right lever to really make effectively more green investments. And if you continue to spin this story, okay, it is the easiest to quickly change the ESG weighing in your portfolio if you buy a property. Because how long does it take a company, okay, a traditional company, to become a green company? It takes probably almost a generation. Okay, with us it is a 2-year process if you forward buy one of our projects, because the construction period is not going to be any longer than with conventional construction. And then going back to what you said as an intro, it is now with the Timber Pioneer that we are going to prove that the conventional construction is no less expensive than the timber construction. And of course you have the same phenomenon as you will see, as you have seen with the car batteries. Okay, at the beginning they are more expensive, but the more people are occupying their mind with this and the more offer you get, the better. With a Timber Pioneer in Frankfurt, the good news is we had 8 companies to choose from, so we are reasonably optimistic that we are not the only ones to see this trend and dependent on the few suppliers on the market.
Yeah, thanks for that. And a very last question, you mentioned earlier that on the potential opportunities in the hotel business, does this mean existing hotels or more, let's say, development projects?
No. It's on the operating. Yeah, I get your question, and very grateful for this question, because that must be very clear. And for everyone who reads our press releases carefully, it is clear. Our decision, okay, to not indulge in hotel development projects for the foreseeable future is unchanged. We fully stand behind it. However, in the hotel operating business, the lease business, there is a lot of hotel operators, and I don't mean the management companies. I don't mean the big names that you're familiar with, but the hotel leasing companies are in deep troubles. And the owners of hotels, which usually are institutional funds, of course, need to shop for alternatives very attractive lease costs, and this is what we now can with full confidence look out for. Let's not forget, Martina is joining us only in October, so we are talking about something that is a bit further out in the distance. But I think the right sequence of events is: first, you get the right person, okay, that puts you in a position to hunt for such opportunities, and then you look for such opportunities. Okay?
Yeah, well, this is what I had assumed, but I also had assumed that you will more focus on developments, on the overall group structure, i.e. more residential, smart offices, rather than to be an asset manager.
But Andre, you're mixing up things completely. Of course, we have two asset classes in development, period. And these two asset classes are residential and office, period. And in both asset classes, the quality gate is, are they green? Are they smart? And can we develop a story for it? Are they more? Okay, period. That's what we want to do. We are not asset managers. We are not going to look out for distressed hotel assets. Okay? No, that's not what we want to do. We want to operate, to be the operator, the Pächter, for such hotel assets. Should the current Pächter, I on purpose mm-hmm. use the German word, be in financial stress and difficulties, and should the owner of such property be prepared to consider the current situation in their request of what lease payments they have in mind on a monthly basis per hotel room.
Okay. That's from my side. Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you, Andre.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time, so I hand back to Thomas Winkler for closing comments.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I've mentioned, it's Friday afternoon, so thank you for staying with us. We've enjoyed talking to you. I hope you've enjoyed the news and numbers that we presented to you, and we are looking forward because in a month's time, we will talk about Q1, and we hope to be able to surprise you on the positive side once more. Have a nice day and have a nice weekend.
Thank you.